It's 7:45. Good morning. I'm Anthony Morneau with KRWG News. U.S. Attorney General William Barr plans to promote a crime-fighting initiative today in New Mexico as the state struggles to curb some of the highest property and violent crime rates in the nation. The Justice Department says Barr is joining U.S. Marshal Service Director Donald Washington and other federal authorities in Albuquerque today to announce the arrests of 300 fugitives suspected of violent crimes. The arrests resulted from Operation Triple Beam, a program that has been conducted in numerous cities, and officials say it's led to hundreds of arrests. Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham recently announced that a special state law enforcement unit would be responsible for finding fugitives linked to violent crimes in New Mexico. In more news, New Mexico schools and state government benefit heavily from oil and gas revenue, and many young activists are not happy about it. KUNM's Hannah Colton talked with one of those activists. He lost his race for a seat on the Albuquerque School Board, but is continuing his fight for the state to refocus efforts on renewable energy.
New Mexico politicians paid lip service this election cycle to a landmark education ruling about inequities in public schools. But no one was drawing a line between that and an issue that's had students walking out of classes: climate change. Berland Coker, an Albuquerque school board candidate younger than all the others, makes that connection, calling out the hypocrisy of an education system here that relies on oil and gas money. It's election night, and Verland Coker is at Lindy's, a cozy diner on Central, watching results roll in with candidates for other races and their supporters. The server tells Coker they're out of blueberry pie, so he goes for a slice of Boston cream.
Can you do a la mode as well?
I can do that. Okay. Vanilla?
Vanilla.
Coker recently quit his part-time Pizza Hut job to free up time to attend more education meetings. So the pie is a splurge, he says. Despite losing his race, tonight he's celebrating. The TV screen says over 1,000 people voted for him.
Jesus. That's...
You're still dead last.
Yeah. But I mean, like, that's a lot of... I'm a nobody. I'm a high school dropout. I shouldn't have any votes.
A child of activists in the American Indian movement, Coker says he always bristled against authority and struggled to engage with white-centric schooling that felt out of touch and often racist.
You know, I speak very white, but I am wholeheartedly Native.
Part of the judge's ruling in that landmark case was that Native American students aren't receiving an adequate education in the state, and that's illegal, a violation of the New Mexico Constitution.
Every day, I don't see myself reflected in the educational system, neither in the teachers, the administrators, even the secretaries or the school board members.
Coker does a lot of self-education, and he often cares for his younger brother who has autism. He's become a regular commenter at Albuquerque Public Schools board meetings, and his big thing is 21st century education, which pushes for student-centered learning based in real-world context and collaborations with community orgs. It's no silver bullet, Coker says, but it usually relies on open-source materials and therefore could cost a lot less. For him, that means getting away from oil and gas money before climate change reaches the point of no return.
And that deadline is being expedited by, you know, the Amazon fires, the African fires, you know, the oil spill in North Dakota. And we aren't really prepared to transition out of oil funds as it is right now.
With extractive industries booming, this year the state had extra cash, and most of that went to trying to improve education here. Even so, Coker says divesting from oil and gas as soon as possible is the first step to creating a viable future for kids.
Everything that we work towards for education is to give them the tools to combat the unfairness of life, but at a certain point, you know, the world is not going to be able to support that. And what's most frustrating about it is that every single school board member that's up there isn't going to be alive to see that, but I will.
To Coker's left at the table is Julian Trujillo, a socialist community organizer who shares Coker's urgency to see students preparing for a post-fossil fuel economy.
We need to educate a new generation of electricians and engineers that can actually run solar farms and wind farms.
Trujillo's preferred local candidates lost this time around, but he says he's glad to see Coker out alongside other people who are pushing for change.
This is where you build relationships. This is how you do community organizing. For me, this is the type of room I like being in.
If you're in, like, hip-hop spaces here, the prison abolitionist spaces here, there are highly intelligent, highly engaged people who are actively working to make a difference.
Coker says he sees a lot of power that status quo leaders don't recognize or value.
And there's been deliberate efforts to split everyone up, and it reinforces this idea we have in the city that everyone's sort of out there for themselves, you know. But as soon as you get into the community, it's very much the contrary.
Climate change, racism, failing schools. Coker argues those are interconnected issues that'll require people working together to overhaul systems. He knows that his mission to get APS off oil money may not be easy or popular, but he trusts that he won't be in it alone. For KUNM, I'm Hannah Colton.